Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending is what's going on in Topeka today. Potentially, a bill could pass out of the Kansas legislature that could help attract the Chiefs and Royals to the Sunflower State. That is because a bill came out of their committee yesterday that would create a major star bond district. Now, the location of that everybody just assumes would be Wyandotte County, but that's not something that's specified necessarily. The projects, though, would be financed immediately through future sales tax revenue, offering $1 to $3 billion essentially gift to the Chiefs or the Royals to come to Kansas. This is their way of making sure, if the bill passes today, that they have all the options and tools in front of them to negotiate with the Chiefs and or the Royals. The Senate and House Commerce Conference Committee, the bill that came out of there offers 100% financing. We're going to talk more about this after what's trending, but that's the key part for me. 100% of the financing for a project. That's what the state of Kansas potentially could approve today. Today's the last day of session in Topeka. They're both in recess right now, the Senate and the House. It has to pass both chambers. So that could happen this afternoon or later tonight.
Wild, by the way, that they would, I mean, not wild, because they're at the end of the session and we knew that they were going to take the shot. Wild that they thought that, or Jackson County thought maybe this wouldn't happen. Oh, it's fine. It may still end up in Missouri. Missouri has some of these things available to them, but they're also not pursuing it actively, which is different, which means Kansas is a little bit ahead of themselves, at least here next. Next up on What's Trending, Royals lose last night, fall 6-5 late to the Blue Jays. That means three games in a row the Royals have dropped. Jonathan Bolin made his season debut for the Royals. Struggled a little bit early on, let up a couple home runs to Justin Turner. The Royals, again, in a small skid, at least on that end. It'll be Cole Reagans and Jose Berrios tonight at 6 o'clock. Vern's On Deck show starts at 5.
Yeah, look, bigger picture, we all want them to win anyway tonight, but I want them to get 18 wins in the month.
That'd have the most wins in April ever.
That's to me is significant. It would be representative of more and more what they've been able to accomplish in the month of April. Next up on What's Trending, we know the Lakers were eliminated from the postseason last night, and let all the speculation begin about the future of LeBron James. Brian Windhorst reporting this morning that LeBron is expected to opt out of his contract with the Lakers, become a free agent, and let the games begin if that actually happens. Although that wouldn't be all that surprising if he opts out. He's 39 years old. Also, potentially in the future, what happens with his son? We know his dream is to eventually be able to play in a game with his son on the same team. And if he becomes a free agent and your team that struggles to sell tickets or just wants that marketing ability, man, oh man, you might be willing to pay a guy that is 39 years old. Although I'll be honest, he was still blowing by.
Are you kidding me? He's still very good.
He was still blowing by 23-year-olds last night, even in the losing effort. Yeah, he's still incredible. But last night in particular, 44 minutes, 30 points, 9 boards, 11 assists, 4 steals.
Oh yeah, no, he's still a genuinely great player. Really, I think the bigger hangup might not be getting LeBron and the level of player getting is convincing that same team to guarantee LeBron that they'll draft Bronny. Like, you might have to promise that you'll draft Bronny or draft him first and then convince him to come over to your squad one way or the other. Next up on What's Trending, the Jacksonville Jaguars officially released Zay Jones. People were expecting this after they went wide receiver in the most recent draft. So another random wide receiver veteran available on the market as the Jaguars get a little bit younger. They spent quite a bit. They tried a lot to get some weapons around Trevor Lawrence. Well, they still got, what, a few cheap years left on that contract before he gets paid a whole big pile of money.
That is What's Trending. Here on Cody and Gold, reminder, Nate Taylor from The Athletic going to join us in studio coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll talk more about Travis Kelce with Nate. What does he think the remaining cap space could be used for, if anything? And we'll get his thoughts on what we're going to talk about right now, which is the future of where the Chiefs and the Royals potentially could be playing. We know the latest so far today, nothing, I'll be honest, has changed since the latest update, which was in the Kansas legislature. The House and the Senate at some point today will have an opportunity to vote on a bill that would provide funding opportunities for the Chiefs and or Royals. Specifically, some of the details, the actual bill is still not uploaded or anything, looks like, through the Kansas legislature, as they haven't brought it to the floor yet today. But the expectation is that 100% financing would be something that the Secretary of Commerce would be able to have at his or her disposal in a negotiation through star bonds for up to 30 years for up to two stadiums with at least 30,000 seats. Woo. That's a heck of a tool to have if you're negotiating, and that's why they want to try to get this thing done today. The session is supposed to wrap up today unless they extend it, and so if negotiations are happening for the next 6 months, and you're the governor or whoever's going to be involved in the direct negotiations, you want to have the ability to have all these financing options. And this is something that is going to possibly pass today. And if that happens, these are the options that all of a sudden the Chiefs and Royals get to consider. We knew that was going to happen after it failed on April 2nd. It doesn't mean that the Chiefs are 100% moving to Kansas just because the bill passes today, but it sure makes things more interesting. And if you're the state of Missouri, you're keeping a close eye. Do you have a counter, right? And this is where I still think, despite who celebrated on April 2nd and who maybe had their ego hurt on April 2nd, the Chiefs and Royals were still the biggest winners, in my opinion, of the vote failing, because they have the ability now to get the best offer. And that's a pretty strong offer if this bill passes that they have at their disposal.
Up to 100%.
But still, like that
that's the maximum number.
That is the you can't outdo that. I know
Mayor. Up to 130%. We'll just give you some more money.
Right. Like Missouri, maybe they can match that, but there's no outdoing. There's no outdoing when one state potentially has the ability to offer 100% financing.
By the way, the text line says, doesn't Arrowhead have like 70, 30K signing? No,
they're just saying up.
They're limiting the star bond to at least 30. They're pretty much saying Chiefs or Royals.
Yes.
By setting the number of seats at 30,000, they're putting two teams at play for the star bond, the Royals and the Chiefs.
It's a minimum amount, basically.
I still think that the way more likely team to end up in Kansas is the Chiefs. And I'll be honest, as much as I would have been fine with the Chiefs staying in the Arrowhead Stadium, like I'm staying at the Truman Sports Complex site, building a new stadium there, which is what I wanted, not the renovations, and the Royals going downtown, I've told you, I think the Chiefs know what we know, which is Arrowhead does not have a lifespan of forever. It has a limited amount of time on this earth for them, not just for you or me or any other fan. They see an expiration date on the damn thing. And if it's within 20 years, which is what I assume it is, based on the amount of lease terms they were asking for the last time, well, then they might as well just, as you put it, build their palace. And if that has to go on the Kansas side, I'll be honest, because of the way football works, and you go 8 times a year, on average every other week, for a 4-month time period, driving slightly farther doesn't bother me. Not even a little bit. I don't care that it's on the other side of the state line, just as long as I want them to have a new stadium for Arrowhead. Not because I think Arrowhead is not historic, but because I think it has a shelf life, and I don't know why you wouldn't do it with the Patrick Mahomes era. And I want big, cool events like Final Fours and all these other things. And for baseball, I hope that they find a way to work with Jackson County and be downtown still. But Kansas is going to threaten both.
I still think if the new stadium is the path the Chiefs head down, to me, that's Kansas. Like I don't see a new stadium in Missouri. And so that's where I'm at. Like, if based off of Clark Hunt's comments Saturday, it's not a coincidence that two or three days after Clark Hunt for the first time publicly. We all kind of assumed that they were going to have options opened up and therefore the new stadium would be on the table, not just a renovation. But when Clark Hunt on Saturday says publicly that, you know, we're not ruling out a renovation, but we're looking at all options, including a dome stadium. And I hope by dome stadium, he means retractable roof, by the way, not an actual dome stadium. But when that happened on Saturday, now the Kansas legislature is acting, because to me, that was the signal publicly, at least. That was a signal publicly, like, we're open for business. And now it's Kansas being able to react to that. Now, what is Missouri doing? This from Channel 9. Mike Parson, the governor of Missouri, of course, was at, I guess, some other event today, and they had a reporter on the scene. They asked him his reaction to the news that maybe Kansas could be passing a bill today that would open up funding mechanisms for the Chiefs or the Royals.
What will you do to respond to what they're doing over there?
Yeah, I know it's a question of responding to what Kansas does, but look, we're going to do everything we can to keep the Royals, Kansas City Chiefs, and the state of Missouri. Now, what that looks like at the end of the day, I don't know, but look, they're a long-time part of who we are in Missouri, and, you know, it's like any other thing. We're going to be competitive.
Says they will be competitive. That's where, if you're
this is again, the Chiefs and the Royals like it, it's forcing Missouri to come to the table and play ball.
And that was the thing with the vote failing on April 2nd, it allows every option to be on the table and more leverage for the teams. Like that people can disagree of how the campaign was done. And it obviously had plenty of issues as we discussed, but I still maintain that the best deal for the state / county was the one that was offered up on April 2nd. Now, people can disagree with, they didn't like the plan. If that's if that's the best plan, I'm talking from a financial standpoint of what public money. If you think that now that the Chiefs or Royals are going to give you a plan that has them putting in more money, I'm sorry. I just think that's completely wrong.
Would, because they don't have to.
The Chiefs potentially have an offer. You might have an offer at some point with a state that has funding mechanisms to fund up to 100%. Why would they say, you know what? We'll just take the one that gives us 40 or 50%.
That sounds fine.
Now, maybe Missouri comes back and says, we'll also do 80, 90, 100%.
If you build a new one.
Sure.
Because that's the thing. Like, Missouri, if that's what, because Kansas is offering for a brand new stadium build. If the Chiefs want more, they should be like, then just build a new one. Because again, that's the whole issue with the Chiefs part is they weren't giving you anything for the money. I'll just be honest. They weren't giving you anything. They were like, here is a cool concrete walkway and some shade in the upper deck. You were like, I don't want that. I want something else.
I just think there's limitations with the building. I mean, that was
totally.
I mean, when you're talking about the renovation and limitations within that, and it was not the worst thing in the world for the vote to fail for the teams. It just wasn't.
They're back on your side, Drew. They say they botched the campaign on purpose.
I'm just saying.
That's a very popular take now. In
it comes across that way, I think.
Look, I don't.
To Drew for being on it early.
Yeah, like I don't think the renovation was great either, and it is hard to believe that was their best. Where I struggle with the flat out, they clearly wanted it to fail. Thing here's my reasoning, and maybe you guys disagree. They spent, along with the Royals, reportedly like $6 million on like campaigning. That doesn't even include the cost of the renderings. Even if you didn't like them, there still is a cost to the renderings.
They don't hate money,
so. You're telling me that they intentionally were fine with losing. I know for you, you'll say it's a drop in the bucket, but still.
Compared to the $3.5 billion stadium they might get out of Kansas.
You're good with just saying, eating the $8, $9 million to have it intentionally fail. Okay. That's the part I can't get over. That's the part that I don't buy. Otherwise, I get where you would think that. And I think long term, maybe that's what it took for Clark Hunt to say, you know what? Screw the renovation. Let's build a new stadium. And maybe he wasn't on board with that. And Mark Donovan had to convince him. And maybe now this is his way of showing, see, here's what we can do with the new stadium. I don't know. I still think you and I were on the same page. I think Drew was as well, which is all the whole time. It never made sense to renovate Arrowhead.
No,
it just didn't.
I stand by that. And it still doesn't make any sense. Look, the one thing that lays credence to the whole thing is I have a really hard time that the smart business people and the people who've been around the Chiefs as long as Mark Donovan and Clark Hunt and all this sat in a meeting room with those renovation plans and thought, nailed it. Everyone's going to love this. You're like, it doesn't look any different. You rolled out some AstroTurf over the carcass of Kauffman, gave us a concrete walkway and said, crushed it. And then put some like super fancy seating areas like all stadiums are going to have. You're like, that ain't it.
Yeah.
I think you must have known that wasn't it.
Like most things, I'm sure there's some truth to both.
Yeah.
You know, where
like they were like, I don't know if everyone's going to love this, but they're like, this is the best one we got.
I mean, I think the amount of
money that's available.
Yeah. Sure. I think there's some reality of like knowing that they were going to be on a 25-year lease and the Royals were willing to be on a 40-year lease. And why was one side willing to do 25? Because they were renovating an old stadium in which they knew they probably were going to have to build a new one in 25 years anyway. So it's the same reason why, as much as the NFLPA grades go viral every year and you know Clark Hunt got the F minus or whatever it was, it never looks good. But from a business end, if I know that I might be leaving my stadium soon, why would I put another $80 million in renovating a practice facility? And I'm just throwing out a dollar amount. I have no idea what it would cost to renovate the practice facility. Point being is...
Probably not going to get those new lockers again this year, you know? Now they don't know where the stadium's going to go.
He's honest. Not
even going to get them the new lockers again.
Again, we could talk about the look of it, but truly, from a business end, does it make any sense if I know I'm moving in 5 years to go drop a $60 million renovation in a practice facility? It doesn't.
But when you talk about the amount of money that's just around the league, sometimes the price you pay for your player's temporary happiness might be worth it. But yeah, your point is taken where if 7 years from now they're not even going to be in that practice facility, why the hell would I update these lockers? That doesn't make any sense, my guy.
Yeah, and I told you about the happiness thing. I still think Chris Jones displayed it perfectly. The NFLPA survey, F minus. Then Chris Jones gets his mega deal that he's always wanted, and what did he tweet out jokingly, but still to me it was actually the point. Clark Hunt, A-plus owner. Yeah. Ultimately, what do they care about if the owner is giving them the money that they want? That's how most of these teams are actually judged, and are they winning?
Look, and the good news is for the Chiefs is that they're not operated like stupid organizations from a quarterback standpoint because they got Patrick Mahomes right. I saw an article at The Athletic over this weekend. Great article, right? Just breaking down the, like, what went behind how every quarterback ended up where they are. And you're like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. I still don't understand how they landed on Michael Penix at pick 8 or why they decided to go that route. But there was a quote out of this clip, out of this entire article, that kind of perfectly, I think, encapsulates why teams are so bad at scouting and so stupid. Anytime you think, they must know more than me, how do they not get these quarterback decisions so right? How are they getting them so wrong? This is an excerpt from that article in which Sean Payton was talking to Bo Nix, and he said, hey, what's in your backpack? This is what he asked all the quarterback prospects he was talking to. Nix reached inside, according to the article, and grabbed a roll of tape that he explained he'd need for his ankles if he were going to train. He also pulled out a spare pair of cleats and a lacrosse ball that he uses for rolling out his back. And what wasn't in that bag was just as significant. Everything was football related.
Oh, gosh.
All of it. That's a football guy. Are you kidding me? Did you take a quarterback, Sean Payton, because he's so obsessed with football that in an interview in which he was going to be talking to a football head coach, his backpack had football stuff in it? So if Michael Penix had walked in or Caleb Williams had walked in and he had, you know, he had a cell phone, or it doesn't even matter. He just had some, like, candy. He had anything in there, non-football related. He had a book about the war. No good? No good? You're not drafting this guy because his backpack might have something non-football related in it? Teams are so stupid. This pick is so bad. It remains bad. They make the dumbest reasons why they draft people. It's like the people, you know, like the draft day joke where you're like, oh, put $100 in the back. Do not let that be the reason why you choose your quarterback.
You guys are just trying to dunk on Bo Nix. So look, you're just trying.
This is a stupid reason to like somebody.
So look, this goes back to like, oh, it is, you know, the plot of the movie Draft Day. Like, oh, you know, he didn't get invited to the. Why did his friends not go to his birthday party? Something must be a red flag.
They actually think that way sometimes.
I know. So that kind of stuff is not surprising. I will say this, though. That shouldn't be Nix's fault, though. So, like, you can criticize Payton here, but yes. I don't think Bo Nix showing up to a meeting with Sean Payton with a football in his backpack.
No, I don't care.
Saying that that's why he's going to suck is just as crazy as the complaint that you have.
I thought he was going to suck the whole time. I thought Sean Payton is an idiot for taking him that high because, oh, he's a football guy. He's got football stuff. Patrick Mahomes probably has, like, Teddy Grahams in his backpack for his kids. What, he's not going to be good at football because he's got Teddy Grahams back there?
We didn't have kids when he was in college.
Like, what kind of things do you have in your backpack that have nothing to do with radio gold? Probably plenty.
No, actually, I just have headphones, a laptop, and a charger. You know, and some random Starburst.
That's why you're the best. Nope,
some random Starburst.
Fail. Fail. You failed. That has nothing to do with
it's
radio.
Just work stuff, man. We're locked in, you know?
Oh,
we're locked
in. Oh, my goodness.
Sean Payton, remember, guys, he loves, as the text line reminded me, that's true. He wanted to draft Patrick Mahomes. He tells everybody that every chance he gets. And he, according to Adam Schefter, he feels the same way about Bo Nix.
God, I'm telling you.
What's your big, bold Bo Nix prediction, then?
I don't know if I have a bold one other than the fact that he's going to be good.
Okay.
He is going to be a solid quarterback, and he's going to be top 15 for his entire career.
Out of the first-round quarterbacks, who will he have a better career than? Caleb Williams? Will he have a better career than Caleb Williams?
No.
Will he have a better career than Jaden Daniels?
I don't know. He wants to say yes.
I don't know.
He wants to say yes.
He's on the fence. Will he have a better career than Michael Penix?
Yes.
Will he have a better career than Drake May?
Yeah.
Who am I missing?
McCarthy.
Guy. Oh, yeah. Will he have a better career than J.J. McCarthy?
No, because J.J.'s they're going to have equally good careers.
See, I think J.J. McCarthy, other than Caleb Williams being in Chicago, is in the best landing spot of any of the quarterbacks. Yeah. He's got a bright young coach in Kevin O'Connell. He's got Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson, right? All in that room.
It's hard for you to not be good.
Yep. Versus Drake May, who I think is better than J.J. McCarthy. He's got a first-year head coach in New England, tough division.
And
they drafted Jalen Polk, right? That was the wide receiver. Is that the wide receiver they drafted, Jalen Polk, or was McConkey? No, McConkey is who Patriots fan wanted. Jalen Polk is who they ended up drafting.
You know the thing I have about the reason why? I think Sean Payton overall has had a very good career as a head coach. I think that's kind of inarguable. But I also think he definitively strikes me as a person who is not adapting and didn't adapt at the end of New Orleans, rolled into Denver and is like, I'm the king. I'm taking this guy, and just thinks like, I got it all figured out. You should have been begging for me. He seems like the kind of guy who's not going to adjust, and he's going to end up getting fired in Denver eventually. I do not think Sean Payton in Denver is going to work.
Yeah, I mean, getting fired, I would say that fits the bill for 80% of NFL coaches. Most NFL coaches do get fired. They don't usually get to go out on their own.
Not like 12 years from, what I'm saying? Like, fired within his first contract.
Did he? He didn't get fired from the Saints, did he?
No, he retired.
He retired.
Yeah, right.
He stepped away for a year.
Okay.
Which honestly was a smart decision, though, because things were heading south in New Orleans anyway.
Yeah, another coward's move, by the way. Look, I understand why people do it. Pete Carroll did it to USC, but it is kind of crappy to just.
Harbaugh
like,
technically did it.
Yeah.
I mean, they were. I mean, he wanted to go back to the NFL, but also Michigan was. He needed to get out of
there. But at
least
he won him a title first.
He did.
Pete Carroll do that? Did he win a title last year at USC before he bolted? I think he was just getting hit with all those sanctions, and they were kind of like average, and then he ditched.
Did he win a title at USC? Because they lost to Texas in the national title game. I don't know if he actually won a national. I don't, to my not, maybe 2003, if I'm wrong.
I don't know why I thought he won like more than.
He might have won one.
I might just be getting that
one. The big game, of course, is the Texas one where Vince Young runs into the end zone.
He won AP national title in 2003 and 2004.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Oh, it was back to back? Okay.
I was like, I could be wrong.
I knew it was 2003. I didn't.
I thought he'd gotten a couple.
The reason why I think, Bo Nix has, out of Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and maybe even J.J. McCarthy, he's got the highest floor. But in terms of peak potential, that's where Jaden Daniels is there. Drake May potentially could get there. Behind Caleb Williams is Bo Nix, I think, in terms of floor. Obviously a little bit older.
I think he's going to have the worst career out of all. I'm ranking him, by the way, he has the sixth best career out of those six.
If you don't mind me giving stats, he's the most accurate passer in college football history.
Yeah, is it behind like Graham Harrell or something? Who's the most accurate? I'm dead serious.
Bo Nix.
That guy stink? Who's the second most accurate passer?
No idea.
I bet he stinks. I'm just going to guess it now. Guy stinks.
He had the fewest turnover-worthy plays in the entire draft. He had 21 touchdowns and zero turnovers when blitzed. 9-1 touchdown interception ratio when pressured inside the pocket. Like, he's good.
What makes him the most accurate? Because I'm looking at completion percentage. It's not that.
Yeah, because this says Luke Falk at Washington State was the most accurate. Baker Mayfield, the second most accurate quarterback in college history. Is that right?
Accurate in what sense did they say?
All I know is that he had a 77% completion percentage.
Oh, so for a single season. He had the single season career. Because the most accurate quarterbacks from a completion percentage over the course of their career in college football history, they all are terrible. Colt Brennan, Colt McCoy, Grayson McCall, Kellen Moore, Graham Harrell. I can't believe I actually got that guy right.
Justin Fields, according to PFF, was one of the most accurate first-round quarterbacks ever drafted.
Fields, in his defense, was thrown to Marvin Harrison Jr.
Joe Burrow's 11th, though. So.
Baker, too. Mac Jones was third.
Bo Nix was thrown to Troy Franklin, who had
Sam
drop
Darnold
problems.
Was the 11th most accurate.
But Troy Franklin was a second-round pick.
Mahomes was only the 17th most accurate in college football history.
Well, Troy Franklin, he fell to the fourth round for a reason.
Was that where he fell?
He got drafted on Saturday.
Ooh. By also the Denver Broncos, mind you. Ooh. So that's
they
ironic.
Him up.
Also played in the Pac-12. They don't play any defense there.
The Pac-12 was good this year, though.
They still don't play defense. I didn't say it wasn't good. So they don't play defense. It's different.
This will be a fun one to track.
I guess I might be dead wrong.
Clear divide. No, I mean,
no. One of us is going to be dead wrong. It's either going to be me or it's going to be you.
One of us is going to be really
I don't know
wrong.
If there's a middle ground. One is right or one's wrong.
For sure.
Coming up next, though, let's talk about the Chiefs' first-round pick, who will be wearing number one in his NFL career. He already got a tattoo signifying when he was drafted. That's Xavier Worthy. And the factor that he could play in week one of this particular season, that's next.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
That's what Bo Nix seems to get pumped up because there's so many haters out there.
Yeah. Taylor Swift? You want him listening to Taylor Swift, the division
hate.
Rivals, tight ends, girlfriend songs?
Yep.
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't think that's good. If Denver Broncos fans know that Bo Nix is listening to Taylor Swift before every game, especially the ones before the Chiefs, that's not a good sign. For
hey, them. If he throws 70% completion percentage, then it doesn't matter what you listen to
he
at that point.
In the NFL?
70%?
That's insane.
70%?
Well, whatever, 65.
Hmm.
Whatever's better than most.
Funny down, I don't remember like what's good in the NFL.
Check down
like,
city.
He was good at throwing the deep ball. Last year's leading percentage completion, Jake Browning, 70.4.
Mahomes was 66.5, by the way.
Jake Browning.
Yeah, Browning hit that minimum completion or minimum attempts because the starting quarterback can't stay healthy. Who was that?
Bengals backup quarterback, Jake Browning.
Mm-hmm. Starter last year. Starter. More than the other guy.
When a ligament in your wrist pops, I'm sorry, but a lot of guys can't play through that.
Oh, I know. I'm just, you know.
Oh, yeah. No one blames him for
nobody's
that.
Nobody's saying he should have kept playing. It's just that, you know, there's always something, man.
It's a freak accident.
You know, there's always freak accidents with your guy, Joe Burrow. You know, the appendix, you're right. Nobody can help it. The appendix burst. He has to have surgery for that.
That was really
ligament
tough.
In the wrist burst. He has a lot of these bizarre injuries. I'll give
you
that.
I'm just praying that they get – can they start 2-1, please?
I don't know that they're
wait,
capable
that's your,
of
hold
that.
On,
that's not been their history,
can,
dude.
Can we please just
– 2-1 is your goal?
Please, get through three games at 2-1. I'm tired of the 0-3, the 1-2s. Let's just get to 2-1.
That's just such a weird benchmark, I feel.
Because
like
they start turning up once they get to week 5, 6, 7. They start finally turning the corner. They have every year.
I don't know, man. I
have you thought about the fact that he was good because he was 37 playing against 19-year-olds in college? I'd be pretty good, too.
24.
37.
24.
Jeez.
Bo Nix. Not
jeez.
Joe Burrow's age. Same age as Joe Burrow, right? Coming out of
college. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. The Bengals live rent-free in Chiefs fans' heads. I'm telling you.
Well, I didn't say anything about Joe Burrow. I was talking about Bo Nix.
No, you brought up Jake Browning.
You brought up Jake Browning. And then
well, that was because he was at the top of the list.
Just, it has to be somebody with the Bengals every time. It's funny.
By the way, the Royals have made a roster move. They have optioned Jonathan Bolin to AAA. They'll be calling up Colin Selby, who they acquired via small trade with the Pirates a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
I believe, which means Jonathan Bolin won't be making the start the next couple of times in the rotation. As a pitcher in Major League Baseball's reminder, if you get sent down, unless there's an injury, you have to spend 15 days down. 10 if you're a position player. That rule put in place because the Dodgers were exploiting it on the 10-day mark quite a bit a couple of years ago. So if they can't, like, it just kind of depends. Like, maybe they can skip a start because of the off days and get to March a couple times through, or they'll just call up Daniel Lynch or somebody else to make the next start.
For those of you baseball trivia folks, Colin Selby will be the 1,000th player ever to play for the Royals. in at least one regular season game.
Who the hell's going to ask me that trivia
making
question?
Making Kansas City the 23rd franchise to eclipse 1,000 players. If you're wondering, this comes from Ian Kraft of the Royals. Wally Bunker, credited as the first Royals player ever.
Wally Bunker.
Yeah, get that in your sports trivia mind. Wally Bunker, first ever Royal, the 1,000th Royal in player in team history, Colin Selby.
I don't know if you saw this.
He's got a hell of a beard. Hell of a beard.
He does. Wally, that just sounds like an old player's name. We always talk about that when, like,
Wally Pip.
They put up all those, like, old players' names when it's like, this hasn't been done. Shohei Ohtani did something that hasn't been done since 1894. Mm-hmm. And they're always like, oh, Shanahan, there is a minor league player right now who has the best ERA in all of the minor leagues. His name is Tugboat Wilkinson, which is obviously an amazing name. Wow. And I desperately want the Royals to trade for Tugboat Wilkinson. I don't even care what it would take. He's a 270-pound left-hander.
What's the story? 270? There's got to be some story there.
There's 270 pounds. I don't remember.
There's got to be a
stocky kid who eventually became, literally they started calling him Tugboat.
270.
How tall is he?
That I don't know. I just know he's a 270-pound left-hander.
The weight distribution, is this guy like 6'5 or 6'6?
Tugboat Wilkinson.
Okay, that's his nickname.
No, his name's
you made it sound like his name is Tugboat. His nickname is Tugboat.
But they've been calling him it for like 15 years.
Matt Wilkinson is his name, nickname Tugboat. Okay, that makes more sense.
Oh, he's a guardian, of course.
He's in Cleveland system, yeah. He was picked in 2023, as you said, yeah. 0.44 ERA.
So I'm going to have to watch this guy go against the Royals
instead?
He's
in single A, so he's got a long ways to go. Yeah. In single A. A
couple of years from now.
Had me convinced that Tugboat Wilkinson. That's why I was like, what? I need the backstory. Oh, the nickname Tugboat. Still want the backstory, but.
It's like Hollywood, you know. It's a cool name. Tugboat. Great baseball player name. Are you kidding me?
Thinking of.
He's 6'1", 270. Oh, my goodness. So we're talking stocky.
Yeah.
Whew.
Anyway. Let's talk about young players, not players that are the age of Bo Nix, but instead actual young players in the NFL, like Xavier Worthy, because the Chiefs took a couple of the youngest players in the draft again with their first two picks, which is exactly what was used on Felix and Udike Uzama last year. So I just want to put a hypothetical out there. I'm not actually predicting this. I think Xavier Worthy will be a productive member of the offense this year. But let's just say he needs the gap year. He's an incredibly young player. People think he needs some development in a few areas. Let's just say he is mostly a, what you would call by rookie standards, a non-factor, kind of like Sky Moore's rookie year or Felix Anudike's rookie year a year ago, where they're not regular players, they don't contribute. Is the Chiefs offense good enough without him? Is the question I have today. Are they better than they were last year without him? I think they are good enough, but I'll be honest, it is a thin line of no injuries. The second I put one injury into that mix, it's just as bad, if not worse, than it was last year.
So I know you're doing the hypothetical, but I will say I do think Worthy is going to be part of this offense and end up being a decent contributor. But
I just
play along,
because he's so young, and you know,
to play along with the hypothetical of him not being a factor for some reason in year one, it's better already heading into week one. Last year, MVS and Kadarius Toney were the number one and number two wide receivers. I know my number one receiver. Let's just assume Rice is not suspended week one. We know it's coming at some point, a suspension. We don't know when. So let's say he is playing week one. Rashee Rice, we all saw what he could do. Hollywood Brown is somebody that's your legit number two wide receiver that is a deep threat, that presents a challenge vertically for defenses and should allow Travis Kelce's job to be easier also and not tax him as much maybe throughout the course of a season. Yeah, I think this offense is already better positioned even before they drafted Worthy. The Worthy pick is, yes, for this year, but it is still a long-term play, in my opinion, for taking over for Hollywood Brown in about a year when his contract is up. But I think Xavier Worthy is someone that ultimately will be a key contributor. You know, everybody's expectations, we get a little out of whack anytime you draft a wide receiver in the first round. You know, he's not going to just instantly be a 1,000-yard wide receiver.
13 wide receivers last year who were drafted as rookies had more than 500 yards. Just 500 yards. If you want to say more than 800, it was five. Five. So, like, but when you're a first-round pick, I am allowed to say you should be more than 500. There are 13 wide receivers last year who managed to get more than 500 yards. You better be above that. Like, to call it productive for Xavier Worthy, to call it a successful rookie season, not to say his career will be successful, just did he have a successful rookie season? He's got to be above 500. He's got to be, he doesn't have to be above 800. He wasn't one of the first three wide receivers taken. He wasn't one of the first four or five wide receivers taken, but he's got to be above 500. I would say really in that 600 to 800 range, I'd lock in now. If you told me he was over six, I would mostly call that a success, assuming that Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice played most of the season. Hollywood for injury reasons, Rashee for suspension reasons, mm-hmm. would be available for the season. Because that part does change it for me a little bit. And the reason why I think they might need him more than the other rookies they have taken here recently with those high draft picks, where I think they could wait on Sky Moore. It didn't pan out, but they had time to, like, Sky Moore didn't have to be a part of the offense year one. McCardman was a bigger factor than either of those guys, but he didn't have to be a major player in the offense year one, although he had like 500 yards his rookie year. But Xavier Worthy, because of the possibility of a Rashee Rice suspension and just generally the recent history of Hollywood Brown and injuries, I think they need Worthy more than they've needed any wide receiver they've taken in the last two or three years to be successful.
Didn't last year prove, though, that they could just
work with anything?
Well, I just mean maybe the room is a deeper wide receiver room, we would agree, we think, yeah. right, at this point. Last year, Rashee Rice, yeah, he was producing, and we were all saying, hey, play him more, play him more, play him more. They didn't do it until they were forced to do it.
Yep.
And I get what you're saying, that, hey, if Rice ends up missing four or six games at some point, are they forced?
They played Felix Anudike-Uzama a lot more early in the season when Charles Omeniu was suspended.
Yeah, so if they're forced to do it, sure. I just don't know if, like, week one, if we're going to be like, wow, wait, Xavier Worthy's getting the third most snaps of all the wide receivers. My guess is he's not going to get the third most snaps of all the wide receivers.
You think it'll be behind Tony?
I think it'll be a split of, you know, Watson and Sky Moore or whatever. What I'm excited about actually with Sky Moore is just that they're not going to ask him to do as much, and his role is going to be much smaller and more precise, if that makes sense. And I actually think Sky Moore could put together a decent year. Not like, I'm not even talking stats, like from I'm not saying he's getting 600 yards. I'm just saying.
Just like he could be a successful contributing football
player. Yes, and I think that should be the goal at this point for this upcoming year for Sky Moore.
Look, I think Carrington actually said it really right on Sky Moore, which is sad. But like, if he spent the rest of his career turning into DeMarcus Robinson, you'd take it right now.
Probably.
DeMarcus Robinson was a 400 or 500 yard. He's a capable wide receiver. He's still on good teams now. He shows up, he gets his catches, he gets his 500 yards, and he moves on about his day. I probably would take that out of Sky Moore at this rate. Now that's changing. I've moved the goalpost in a little for him, but I would take, hey, you're a contributing member of this offense. Cause he became even less of a contributing member last year. Like, he went further down.
He was just absent.
Contribution.
Right. I just think going back to Rice, like, he was forced to play at a certain point. Yeah. Is a situation going to present itself where Worthy is forced to play more than they would like, unless Rice is suspended longer beginning of the season or longer, or this, you know, we don't even know if it's going to be this year.
No.
Then that might change how people project him. I'm excited about the pick, while recognizing there are concerns if he doesn't put on some weight. But I'm excited about the pick because, to me, he's the vertical threat of the future for this team. And he's hopefully a guy that can learn from Hollywood Brown and ends up, maybe has to supplement if Brown gets hurt. But a year from now, I just look at him being, okay, he can slide right into the Hollywood Brown role a year from now. Rice will still be there. We'll be talking about them needing to draft a wide receiver again next year in the first or second round, most likely.
Well, you and I were saying they could have taken multiple in this draft if they wanted to. But, yeah, they'll need another wide receiver next year, and then we'll go from there.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7610. Of course, you can interact with the show on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, where we live stream the show every day. The question I have for you today involves Dave and Buster's. Gold.
Yes.
Dave and Buster's has announced a plan where you can begin betting on arcade games fellow Dave and Buster's customers.
Oh, boy.
While this somehow does not follow under wagering, because anybody over the age of 18 will be allowed to do it, loyalty members will be able to bet on its games. So just for example, you and I are playing a little Papa Shot. They don't call it that there, but you get the point. And we're saying we want to put $5 on Hot Shots Basketball. They will allow us in their app to start betting money in between us on that. Skee ball, arcade games, and more at just 18 years old. The question I have for you is, one, would you be willing to do this inside of Dave and Buster's? Two, is this a good idea?
Okay, let me start with the second one. No, it's not a good idea.
No. But you like to gamble. I love to blindly gamble with people random settings.
In general,
I probably gambled in a Dave and Buster's.
This falls in the category of like social betting, peer-to-peer social betting, which is a market that is going to grow, by the way, into the future. And so it's actually a pretty smart idea from Dave and Buster's. Is it a good idea? No. People get in fights all the time anyway. You're gonna have people arguing over pop a shot at an arcade.
Or cheating at skee-ball.
You're gonna have yes, it says 18 or older, but you're gonna have 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds trying to do this and already starting betting. I think it's a slippery slope. And this is someone that's very pro sports wagering. This does not fall under sports wagering. So don't blame sports wagering for this entirely. Okay, this is a game of skill, is how they're categorizing it, which is why they don't have to fall under the same sports betting regulations and why they can do it this particular way. We've all bet our friend $5 before, like, hey, I bet you can't throw that over there, right? You can't hit that trash can. We've all said, I'll give you $5 if you can make this shot from there. Look, we've all done it. That's what this is. That's why it's social betting. But man, oh man, I don't think it's a good idea.
Look, it's existed forever. Like, my friend Nathan just texted me and he had said, yeah, we used to do this with Madden, right? Everyone puts in $5 winning team. Like, oh, we had a engraved cup that you had to put money in to play the next round of Mario Kart. And like, when it got to a certain dollar amount, you could win the cup, right? The physical cup and the cup full of money. So I'm not saying, and we weren't even 18 at that point. So I'm not saying that this doesn't exist. It feels weird to be sanctioned by a place. Does that make sense? I'm not surprised that this exists, but I mean, by that standard, should the thing that we're creating, like if this works, if this idea works for Dave and Buster's, the three of us should just be working on an app that allows for peer-to-peer betting to be transferred at a golf course. But at the same time, we all have Venmo. What the hell? If I'm 18 years old, I can have Venmo. What the hell do I need the Dave and Buster's app to transfer $5 to you? I could put $5 on a game right now, Venmo drew $5, and move on with my day. Is an app isolated, designed to do this, going to be something that takes away? Like, let's say, like at the golf course. Like, I make bets on the golf course, and then when I lose them, I just Venmo the person next to me. I don't need a separate app.
I just think
this, unless you put the money in, it like lives in escrow, essentially.
The fact that, you know, they're categorizing it as a game of skill, but I mean, we've talked about sports betting, and this is not in that exact same category, but man, you're talking about sports betting, you're going after poker.
I can't do that at 18.
You're going after, well, that's not sports betting, but you mean gambling in general.
Yeah.
But like, you're going after a younger market with this. That's why I have more of a problem with it.
I wonder, like,
you're talking about allowing 18-year-olds to, that to me is why it's more problematic. At least with sports betting, you gotta be 21 or older. 18, that's a pretty young age to be allowing people to do that.
The way that it would make sense, I think, for Dave and Buster's is,
this is what I tell you, I could go to war. I should be old enough to gamble. No, go ahead.
You know how you get like points on the card or whatever that you can use to play games or like tickets? Not that they would do this, but for it to fit in the Dave and Buster's app, I have 50 points left on my card. I bet you the rest of my card. You know, then if not, then you get the points and you get to play 50 more points worth of games. I don't know.
I actually think that would be safer.
Yes.
Like if you just let, but here's the problem. What Gold is saying is kind of true in a way that what you're describing is probably their next phase that they let 13-year-olds do. You can bet all your points and then don't worry, little Jimmy. Once you turn 18, we'll let you bet the real cold hard cash. We'll get you hooked into betting your Dave and Buster's points.
It makes it unique to Dave and Buster's more than money. It makes it unique to them where, as you guys are pointing out, like, I can just Venmo somebody the $5. Why do I need to give it to you on the Dave and Buster's app? Why not make it tickets or something like that where you can just relate it? Keep it within the Dave and Buster's theme, if you will.
I haven't been to a Dave and Buster's, by the way, in 15, maybe 20 years. When's the last time you guys went to a Dave and Buster's?
2017 or 18, something like that.
That was like a very specific year. What did you go there
I was for? In Boise. I just remember. I remember the circumstance. So
It's been sooner than that.
Would you go with a group or you just went to a Dave and Buster's by yourself, which seems depressing.
No. They actually had a good grilled chicken dish at the time, but no. No, there was some basketball coach there. We had a meeting with them. Okay. That's why I remembered it. But
gotcha.
Ours is with like family, but it's good for that. Plus, they have, I don't know if they even still do, I think they do like half price games on a certain day where you can pair like a eat and play or whatever is what they used to have. At least I don't know if they still have it, or you save some money.
They're saying this will be implemented in the next couple of months. Yeah, I don't think it's a great idea. Someone said, Gold, for someone that likes gambling, you're a gambling gatekeeping SOB. I'm just saying, like, I can be pro sports wagering and still recognize why some things might be a little too far. I think that's to being a pretty reasonable person and not just like, oh, just gambling everything, no matter what. No, I think having 18-year-olds essentially betting already is not a smart thing. That's all.
Somebody said, can I parlay Papa Shot and Skee-Ball? I'm going to beat you in Papa Shot, then I'm going to beat you in Skee-Ball, and I get a little bit more.
What's worse, betting on Papa Shot with your buddy or betting on a preseason football game?
Papa Shot's fine.
I think going to a
preseason game is worse.
No, see, I think going to a Dave and Buster's.
It's not a real competition. Papa Shot's a real competition, at least.
You're in control.
Going to a Dave and Buster's, an arcade, and putting real money with your buddies, to me, is even worse.
I have put a beer on Papa Shot at Kelly's in Westport. Same difference.
Yeah, I think this is worse.
Preseason football, that's not even a real contest.
That is actually a regulated game versus, wait till we get the first controversy, some guy that scammed Dave and Buster's out of millions of dollars for rigging the Papa Shot machine.
What do you even bet on preseason, like spread? Is that it?
Yeah, that's all you can do, really. You're not going to do any prop bets on it.
I would say I feel much more comfortable betting on myself to win a Papa Shot game than the Vikings to cover 3.5 points in a preseason game against the Falcons.
I think that finally ended, didn't it?
It did end. Had a hell of a run, though.
It's pretty smart. I mean, look, from a business end, it's not a bad decision for Dave and Buster's. I just think it's a slippery slope. But social betting is like the next big category other than the continued iGaming stuff.
Again, but I don't know why I can't just use
$6 billion industry.
Like, obviously, they know more about the way the industry will head. I just like... Like, you know, we play like the in-between game every year with my family. I don't think I'm just going to have everybody like put money into an app and then I'll distribute it after. We just still, everyone gets cash and puts it on the table.
Yeah, and that's why they call it it's a social betting category because it's
they're trying to
socially.
Convince us to bet through them.
Yeah, and they take a little fee, obviously, and they make money. That's what they're wanting. But
well, some of those things already exist. You know that. You and I have been in pools. Mm-hmm. That exist for those things.
This will be. This will catch the attention of responsible gaming regulators. What Dave and Buster's is doing. It'll be very interesting.
This person says, "I'm 18. I work 50 hours a week, and I'd go to adult prison if I got in trouble with the law and go to war. But I can't bet or drink. This is stupid." There's always an argument for that. I'll listen to that argument all the time. But it's been that way for a while. So. Look, it's a slippery slope, but I also see why they're trying to do it.
Sure. I saw that they already had some of their stock price went up briefly this morning because of it. So I don't know what it is now, but.
You didn't. Are you day trading on Dave and Buster's stock?
No, I just saw an article.
Okay.
No.
You seem like, I got to be honest. You seem like you'd
it's
get
actually,
into.
Actually, now it's down. Anyway.
You seem like you'd get into day trading. That seems like something that would have like caught your fancy somewhere along the way.
Yeah, that sounds like more of a retirement thing to do. Like when I like if you're bored and you're retired and this is what you just get up at 5 a.m. and do, not when you're actively. That requires also some extra income.
Yeah, it does.
I'm not going to be doing that.
You could stop contributing to your 401k and put it in your own hands.
That seems like a terrible idea. Dave and Buster's, do you owe stock in Dave and Buster's?
Look, I haven't caught up with my retirement guy in a while. I don't know. I'm divested. I don't know if that means in Dave and Buster's
their,
stock.
Their stock
I can't
symbol.
Speak to that.
Their stock symbol is play.
That makes sense.
Is it?
$53.41.
$53 for Dave and Buster's stock?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. God, man. Okay, noted.
It was like $65 back in early April.
I'll be honest.
I've been shorting Dave and Buster's this whole time.
So somebody texted in real quick. It's a trap to get more NFL and NBA players out on gambling. I'll be honest. if we could, like, if there was like a summer event, not where you actually bet money, but if we had, there was like some sort of a skills competition, like, all right, Micah Parsons, Myles Garrett, and Travis Kelce are all going
to
have.
They're going to go to Dave and Buster's.
They're
going to
have a three. They're going to have a 3-on-3 battle. Those three against three other guys. So they're going to go to a Dave and Buster's.
That'd be fun as hell. I'd watch that.
And we're going to see who's better at Skee-Ball, Papa Shot,
essentially
air hockey.
They'll just go to one of their teammates' house that has Papa Shot in their house, and they'll put down $100,000 on each other.
But would you watch a televised event in which each player to put up $10,000 on Dave and Buster?
Yes.
Probably, if it was in the summertime. It'd
that's
have to be
a
on
Pro
the
Bowl
summertime
type
something.
Of event right there.
It'd have to be on in like the summertime and nothing is going on.
I'd probably watch it.
That's the random question of the day. Up next, we get back to the Chiefs. Not only the stadium situation with Kansas, but also Travis Kelce's future as Nate Taylor from The Athletic stops by.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.